Welcome to Mucho African Radio Nova Scotia. I am Nicole Johnson, your African Nova Scotian Voices show host. Right now, I just want to share a little bit about Mucho Radio. We are amplifying community voices and creating bridges that by sharing our stories and telling it our way, speaking our truth our way. Just an open conversation. We want to bring voices together of African Nova Scotians and African immigrants.
So Ryan here with Mucho Radio. Today we have our guest Sylvia Paris here from the Delmore Buddy Day Learning Institute. And there's an event that we wanted to talk about that's coming up here very soon. So I wanted to talk with Sylvia and give a little rundown of what's going to happen at this event.
Hi, Ryan. I mean, the event, I love you saying that because it is the event. We are having our second Afrocentric Conference. We're thrilled that it is a collaboration with a university from South Africa, the university here in Nova Scotia, Canada, and the Delmore Buddy Day Learning Institute. So the conference is called Transformation Through Ubuntu, an Afrocentric Perspective. And for us here at the Delmore Buddy Day Learning Institute, Afrocentricity, of course, is at our core. This is how we do our research. This is how we do all our programming. And in Ubuntu, which is a value that is about understanding that our humanities are entwined, we have a phrase that we often talk about when we say the word Ubuntu, and that phrase is, my success is your success. Your success is my success. So we really feel a collective way of being, which is, I think, most people who identify as Black or from African Nova Scotian, African Canadian communities will feel that relational way of being. So yes, yeah, so we're very excited for it. If it's okay, I'd like to share some of the things that we're going to cover over the 2.5 conference days. So it's on May 25th to 27th, and at the host university location is St. Francis Xavier University in Antigonish, Nova Scotia. So we're going to be talking about, of course, Afrocentricity. So it's Afrocentricity in education, and that'll give us a chance to talk about policy connections. Here in Nova Scotia, for example, we have the inclusive education policy. We're going to talk about imagining and implementing Afrocentric programming and practices, and maybe we'll tease people a little bit about having an Afrocentric school. One of our speakers is going to talk to us a lot about that. We have some programming happening here that are co-led by leaders at the various regional centers for education. So we're going to hear about that. We're going to also talk about intersectionality and what that means in this context. Well, we have the core of Afrocentricity. It's Afrocentricity in terms of gender, Afrocentricity in terms of ability, Afrocentricity in terms of lifelong learning. So we'll always see that kind of centering around self and agency, which is what being Afrocentric has as a way of being is about. And then we are seeing, well, how does that go around looking at things that intersect with it? We are looking forward to having elder engagement, local community engagement. As folks may know who are listening to this, they may know that Nova Scotia itself is kind of the origins in terms of Black presence in Canada. So we talk about a distinct people. African Nova Scotians has a distinct people, while valuing and recognizing our kind of ongoing migrations of folks who have come here in various ways up to contemporary time. So when we talk about the experience of African Nova Scotians as a distinct people, it's the recognition of longevity here. And that's an important piece for all of us to help learning in terms of policy and work. So it's going to be a lot of great engagement learning time. We can never be not about having some enjoyment, right? So we'll have a chance to be together, to socialize, to network, to mingle around. We're going to have a banquet, which will also be a chance for folks to learn and to socialize and be together. We're integrating the kind of the social aspect of drumming with the deep learning of drumming. And so we'll understand about the impact of what it means, for example, to play the drum as compared to a comment that says we beat the drum. So some aspects of that that are about culture and understanding culture. So, yeah, so we're thrilled. We're thrilled with the whole experience, and we're happy that we're going to have a strong contingent of folks who are actually able to come from South Africa to be in person at the conference. The conference, we're happy to say, we're able to offer in a hybrid format, so people who cannot be present are able to attend it virtually as well.
And how important do you feel it is to connect all the different communities for this conference? And what do you feel like the impact will be after this?
Yeah, so when I think about your question around community, so we have local Black communities historically here, 54-ish. We also have this communities across the province, and we have these communities international. So I think the valuing of the impact will be the intergenerational learning, the cross communities, culture, tradition learning that we'll be able to do, because we can have these ways that test out what we think we know and how it's been shaped in our local context and what it was like in the origins of it in tradition. There'll be a huge sense of pride coming from this, because we know that that happens when people have a chance to know the trueness of their contribution. So we know there'll be impact on pride for folks who locally attend. We know that policymakers who are attending will also be influenced and to be able to look at the policies that they have that relate to education, that relate to social inclusion, that relate to socioeconomics and status. They'll be able to have some information that they can use as a lens to look at their policies and say, are these policies unintentionally negatively impacting? Are they distancing people? Are they not acting in a way that is most welcoming and inclusive? So there's a whole breadth of learning that will lead to potentially sustained impact due to policy change and practice change.
And how important was it that this year you were able to offer this as a hybrid event?
Yeah, you know, so like so many organizations, I think we came into the virtual online learning because of necessity, right? With responding to COVID, but still needing to offer our services and engage folks. So we learned things in that that we could take to the positive side. So it is. We're happy that we can offer it in a hybrid format. There's not enough physical space for everyone that might want to attend. And then there's, you know, logistics of folks being able to travel and all those type of things. But now, you know, you have the opportunity to come in, to hear workshops, to hear the keynote speakers and to hear the featured speakers from your, you know, your office seat location, your home location. And that is really important because it answers a question of accessibility.
And if somebody was hoping to attend this event either in person or virtually, where would they find the information at?
So they could go to the website and they'd find the registration potential. At this point, as we're speaking, the registration would be closed. However, I think one of the things that I would still encourage people to go and look at the site and see is kind of what's the offering, and to know that the proceedings from that conference will be posted on the website, and so there will be various levels to still access the learning.
All right. And if people wanted to find out more about you or the work that you do, how would they find that information out?
Yeah, so they could go to our website, which is dbdli.ca, and you'll see the breadth of our offerings there, the programming. We are also accessible to various social media formats. So we're on Twitter, while Twitter is still accessible. We're on Facebook, Instagram. Yeah, so all those kind of mediums.
All right. And is there any final thoughts, final words you'd like to share at this time?
We like to think about successful learning happening when we do it together. We also like to think about and promote the importance of first-person voice stories and about coming at things from a strengths-based approach. So I would encourage folks who identify as the communities that we're focusing on, see themselves as allies, to find ways to grow their knowledge, ensuring that they're learning from a authentic way. So when you read stories, when you listen to various ways of sharing and learning, check into that to see that those people who are talking about the stories have an ownership and connection to those stories, right? And so that's an important piece. And so when we're talking about transformation here and we're talking about an Afrocentric perspective, we have centered, we have at the core that knowledge of I am the owner of my story. I need to be authentic in the telling of that story, and I need the space to be there and so that you hear that story as truth.
And thank you for coming and joining us today, Sylvia. Thank you to all of our listeners at home who've tuned into Mucho African Radio today, and there'll be more to come, so be on the lookout.
Thanks
Ryan
a lot.
Ryan signing off.
Thank you, Ryan. Bye.